Let's open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 106. We're going to be reading a few verses here. I wanted to share a personal testimony from my own life. My twin sister and I were born at 26 weeks, 2.5 months premature. And there are two sets of twins. This was back when they did have ultrasound, but they didn't check the ultrasound. I mean, not everybody got ultrasounds unless there was problems in your birth. So, you know, my parents had been praying for a girl because I have four older brothers. And finally, Tammy was born, and they were like, yes, we got what we wanted. And then I came, and I was like, surprise! And, you know, we were so tiny that they had to take the infant diapers and cut them into fours. They had to find clothes for dolls instead of babies because we were so, so tiny. My dad said when I would curl up, he could just hold me in the palm of his hand. And look at how I've progressed. But we were flown in a helicopter at the age of an hour old from St. Francis Medical Center in Blue Island to Loyola University Medical Center, where they saved our lives. And we stayed in the hospital for about 3 months, from May until August. And so some of you have been there. You've been with your babies in the hospital, in the NICU. And, you know, at this time, this is a year after Roe v. Wade. This is 1974, so 1973. So I want you to see the confusion and the disgusting double standards that we have in our country. I want you to see this, that at the same time that they're spending and making really millions and billions of dollars on people killing babies at $900 a pop, and that's how they look at them as objects. At the same time, they're using the greatest medical technology to save lives. So one 26-week-old gets murdered, and the other 26-week-olds get flown in a helicopter, and their lives are spared. Do you feel the tension? Do you sense the confusion? Do you have some outrage? Do you see the absolute satanic movement in our country that has gone on? And I want you to just see the hypocrisy of this kind of policy that we have in our country. And I want you to understand that, you know, we're going to see in our text today that even in the ancient world, child murder, child sacrifice, abortion through murder took place in the most advanced societies, at the height of civilization, and even in the ancient world, when they had plumbing and they were inventing all these kinds of things, languages, and putting things down and writing things that we still read to this day. We're teaching our kids Greek and Hebrew and Latin. And yet, at the height of these quote-unquote advancements, there is this pervasive selfishness that treats children as objects and not human beings made in the image of God. So I want us to consider in our message today the abolition of child murder. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on in our country. As was mentioned in the prayer time, our Supreme Court has before them a case that would throw Roe v. Wade back to the states. And it is estimated that 26 out of the 50 states would ban child murder through a physical procedure. And we might feel somewhat victorious in that, but I want us not to feel that way. I want us to be thankful and grateful for what God is doing in our country. But we must not rest. We must not give up. We must not stop until the murder of children is utterly and completely abolished in all 50 states, yea, in the whole world. And while abortion rates are going lower and lower, don't be deceived. Surgical abortions are going lower because chemical abortions are going higher. And our country is finding ways to control the population as if we were a bunch of animals. And they have passed laws, and under this administration, though we pray for our president, his policies are from hell. And we realize that during this presidency, the president has fast-tracked chemical abortive pills so that people can press a button on their computer and give themselves an abortion through chemicals, through a pill. And so while it looks like the abortion rate is getting lower in our country by about, 25%, it's actually getting higher. Do not be deceived. It's becoming more sanitized and more covered up. Remember that Satan is an angel, as he's masquerading as an angel of light. And so we must not be deceived or tricked. Satan is on the prowl, isn't he? And we need to be strong and stand as the saints of the living God. I want you to think, as we consider this day, the absurdity of how people think about babies in the womb. One mother who has the baby inside of the womb and elects to murder her child, and that father elects to murder her child and the doctor, all conspiring together, all equally guilty of murder. And yet, that's okay in this country. In fact, it is encouraged. And yet, I don't know how much skin there is between the baby inside of the womb and outside of the womb, but not much, a couple of inches. It's the same baby. And if that mama or that doctor decides to take that child's life with just a few inches outside of the skin, they go to jail for the rest of their life. How absurd. And all I'm saying is that in the midst of this chaos and confusion, that we as the saints stand strong as children of light. Now maybe you, as all of us, have been guilty, whether through abortion itself, participating in abortion, or participating in lascivious living, loose living. We've all done this. We've all put the population at risk in our country. But praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord, because this is not going to be a message that is morbid. This is going to be a message that is filled with hope, because we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn to Psalm 106, and I want you to look just at verse 38 at what was going on in the Old Testament. We have a summary of the history of God's people here in Psalm 106. And it talks about their history and how they rejected God, and they, instead of conquering Canaan, Canaan conquered them. We just recently went through the book of Joshua. We'll be going through the book of Acts next week. But in Psalm 106, you have a history where God's people became like the nations. And I want to encourage us not to become like the nations, to stand strong. Look at what happened. It says, they poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And today, we have our Baal worship, just as much, or I would say far more deadly and far more sophisticated idolatry in the Babylon that we live in today. Today our children are given over to the world, sometimes just by the little device that's in their pocket. They can go to any corner of hell that they want to, just through their phone or their computer, their tablet. And they learn the ways of the heathen unless the God of the universe moves into their heart. Amen? So we cannot be satisfied with our children just having a good education and having clothing and having their meals. And all of that is a wonderful, incredible blessing. We should be really, really humble about the prosperity that God has given us. But listen, all of that is meaningless unless you know Jesus Christ. How many of you, one of the greatest burdens in your heart is, if you have children, is to pray for your children. You pray for them to come to know Christ. You know, I was so happy at the birth of my kids. But you know what day was happier? The day that they said, "Daddy, I've been born again." It's one thing for them to be born once, but we must see our children be born a second time. I hope that is your heart. I hope that you're not just living a comfortable life and your children are just in your way and you tell them children are better not seen or not heard. And seen and not heard? I don't know how it goes. Because I don't like saying anything like that to the kids. They need Christ. When they sin, they need to be brought to the cross of Jesus Christ. And they need to know that daddy and mommy are sinners too. And daddy and mommy need mercy in Jesus. Oh, there's mercy for all of us. Amen? God is merciful to the most undeserving. So our key thought this morning is that we need to love children like God does. We need to call for the complete abolition of child murder. Are you with me? We have to have the same view for the abolition of abortion as we did for slavery. Our heroes in the past called for the abolition of slavery. And you remember the Underground Railroad. You remember Harriet Tubman and people who risked their lives. And it would have been no great victory if we just left, you know, the ownership of slaves to the states. Oh, it's okay. These slaves can be here and others. No, as outrageous as slavery is, the church was pretty dead when it came to that. And they were like the heathen in that sense. And in the same way, so many of our churches you'll never hear a message like this in so many churches because they're so afraid. Even in prominent people, they're asked at different times and people that we've listened to, "Why don't you ever address this?" And they have their excuses. Saints, let's not make any excuses. If you're horrified at the atrocity of slavery, you should be just as horrified at the atrocity of child murder. We should look to abolish it. So we're going to read God's word here, and then we're going to make some points about God's word. So this is God's word. We're going to look at Psalm 106, verses 34 through 48. It says of God's people Israel, "They did not destroy the peoples when they came into Canaan, as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times God delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, and say it with me, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As most of the psalms, these kinds of psalms, these lament psalms, as most of them are, they present a completely hopeless situation. And then they show that you shouldn't be focused on your situation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You should be focused, not on your circumstances, not on what you feel about all these things. You should be focused on our great God. And so we live in a land of confusion and chaos and prosperity that is making child murder fashionable. And we are called to look to the God who brings clarity and who does not cover up the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposes them. And that's what we're called to do. And we have much to praise the Lord for. Amen? Because God sent his Son into this world to end child murder, to end lies, to end deceit, to end all evil, and to bring in righteousness through his Son. Now, I want you to notice the atrocities that are named, and I won't be long at each of these points. I'll try to go fairly quickly. But I want you to look at these atrocities, and this is the largest point, so we're going to spend most of our time here because the passage does. But I want you to see that these pagan nations, were advanced in their day. And in order to hold on to their prosperity, they were determined to murder the undesirables. And we still have that mindset, though it be painted up so beautifully with words that are like sound really responsible, like Planned Parenthood. It should be called planned child murder, is what it should be called. But it says that because the Lord's people did not conquer Canaan, they didn't destroy the peoples, they mixed with the nations, and they learned to do what the idols did, and they were taken away by the nations, we find. And I want you to come back to the time of this psalm. Israel had been scattered among the nations. South of Israel was Africa. And one of the great places of civilization of that time was the city of Carthage. It was extremely prosperous. It's just east of modern-day Algeria. And here it was the queen of Tyre, Elissa was her name. She founded the empire there. And Carthage was the most sophisticated, well-educated, militarily superior, and technologically advanced nation in the ancient world at that time. And all this sophistication, knowledge, and advancement, they were also destroying millions of babies in child sacrifice and destroying their heritage. A modern historian asks of the people of Carthage. This is a guy from Harvard University. He says, how could a culture so well developed morally, intellectually, and materially tolerate so abominable a custom? How could a sophisticated people sanction what seems to be such a barbaric practice for so long a time? How, at the most vulnerable and critical level, could human parents bring about the destruction of their own child? That's a good question, isn't it? And we could ask the same question, not of Carthage, but of Chicago. We could ask the same question of any city in the United States. How can a culture that is so developed morally, intellectually, and materially tolerate so abominable a custom as abortion, child murder? How can we, with such an intellectual and moral heritage, tolerate over 62 million abortions in this country since 1973? Their names would fill the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial over 1,000 times. Some today will tell us that the abortion rate is going down. And as I mentioned, that is a lie. The abortion rate, I believe, is going up. As surgical abortions decline, chemical abortions are 75% more common. And so, while it looks like the child murder is decreasing, it's actually gaining far greater access and momentum through home chemical abortions. The only hope that we have is the gospel. Now, why would they do this? Why did that culture do that? And why do we murder our children? They wanted their life to go better. They were willing to murder their baby for a better life, or because they were afraid of the hardships that a baby's needs would require. In today's world, we believe that we've achieved a higher state of humanity. And yet, the state of the human heart is still rebellious and wicked and unruly as it was when this psalm was written. One of the leaders of the early church in Carthage is Quintus Septimus Tertullian. And he strongly condemned the sanitizing of child murder. Listen to what he said. There is no difference as to baby killing, whether you do it as a sacred rite or just because you choose to do it. For us, murder is once for all forbidden. So even the child in the womb, while yet the mother's blood is still being drawn onto form the human being, it is not lawful to destroy. To forbid birth is only quicker murder. It makes no difference whether one takes away the life once born or destroy it as it comes to birth. He is a man who is to be a man. The fruit is always present in the seed. Isn't that interesting? Even before DNA, they knew this. The fruit is always present in the seed. The blueprint of every human being is in just one little cell. There's trillions of bits of information in each one of our cells. Every cell is like a city. It is the irreducible complexity that cannot be explained except through God's voice, who said, "Let there be light." He said, "Let everything be created," and everything came into being out of nothing. Amen? And in that one cell, when that baby is conceived, all of the DNA, all of the blueprint for who that person is right there. The Bible explains that. We'll look at that a little bit later. But I want you to see not only the same advanced society that's trying to put a nice face on child murder, it's the same propaganda. We find out that they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons. Aren't you glad for the clarity of the Word of God? That those who sacrifice their children, even today, are doing it under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. The God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they will not obey the gospel. But aren't you glad that God can open the eyes of the blind and open the eyes of the ear of the deaf and let the lame leap and bring life, give living hearts to hearts of stone? Well, I want you to understand that there is the same propaganda as they had then, they have now. You know, it's just, we have to do this. We have to murder our children in order to have a better life, in order to have a more prosperous life. You say, no, they wouldn't say that. Actually, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, said this: "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Now, there's probably 100 quotes like this that I'm not going to read for you because they're vile. But this is a woman who was one of the original signers of the Humanist Manifesto, along with John Dewey, who formed our educational system. And he said 100 years ago in the 1920s, give me 100 years, I'll rewrite the textbooks. He was a Marxist. And he said, I'll have this country if I have the children. So he was the educational wing of the secular humanists. And Margaret Sanger was the eugenics wing of the secular humanists. And that word ought to make you angry, because they believed in the same philosophy as Hitler in Nazi Germany. He adopted Margaret Sanger's view of the human race. And it is utterly, utterly unbiblical, unchristian. Can I get a witness that every child is made in the image of God? And every child has dignity. And every child has worth. And every little child and every grown man and grown woman, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what their choices are, they have dignity and worth. And Jesus can bring the image of God out of us when he saves us. Amen? So that even the most heinous of criminals can be turned into the greatest of saints and the greatest of preachers. I think of John Newton, who was a slave ship captain. And he wrote our song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. And him, with William Wilberforce, were able to end the slave trade in Great Britain. So I want us to see that there is so much propaganda. Planned Parenthood should be called planned child murder. More than 90% of Planned Parenthood's business is infant murder through abortion. And yet our tax dollars go there. Now listen, what we need in this country, more than senators and more than congressmen, are born again people that will send forth righteous representatives into our government. Amen? So the key is not, don't put the cart before the horse. We need to change all this legislation. I totally agree with that. But we have to do it the right way. We have to begin in our homes, the homes of in your neighborhood, the homes in your society, to evangelize and disciple each one. And each one of us is a minister, amen? It's not just the pastor, every one of us is a preacher. How beautiful are your feet who preach the good news? And so that's where it's got to begin. And don't be fooled by the propaganda. The same propaganda then is now. And the same propaganda that they had in Carthage is the same that it is now. And same with the child neglect. It says that they sacrificed their children to idols. Micah 6:7 says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? This was the common way of thinking. A child is going to make life harder. I've really messed up. I guess I should just cleanse myself of this. The answer is no, you shouldn't do that. Amen? We can try to get rid of our child to make our life better or to avoid the consequences of sin, but a child is a blessing from the Lord no matter how he or she was conceived. Amen? They say, well, a child should, you know, a mother shouldn't have to bear the child of a rapist. Well, what about the rights of the child? The child did nothing wrong. Why should we put the child to death? We have to, as believers, see things from God's perspective. Everything has to be seen from his perspective. And I want you to see the ugliness of first century practices in Baal worship, even in Israel at times. It says there would be a bronze image of the false deity, and this is a first century AD description of this practice. There would be this image that was extending its hands, palms up and sloping toward the ground, so that each of the children, when placed there, unrolled down and fell into a sort of gaping pit filled with fire. So when you read about the golden calf and you read about Baal worship, some of the Baal worship included this kind of thing. Mothers were not allowed to shed a single tear, or it was believed that it would ruin the effect of the sacrifice. So as that dear mother was forced to give her baby up to these superstitions, she was not even allowed to shed a tear. The screams and pain of the child would have been drowned out. According to Plutarch, a first century Greek historian, who said, the whole area before the statue would be filled with a loud noise of flutes and drums so that the cries of wailing should not reach the ears of the people. He's talking about the children wailing. Can I just say that today in America, children should be treated as the most precious, precious gifts from God. Amen? We read in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? And yet, today, the penalty for killing a bald eagle is a maximum of 5 years imprisonment, $250,000 for a felony conviction, and a maximum of $10,000 for civil violations. But at the same time, taking the lives of preborn babies is not only legal in our country, but encouraged. The more we get away from the image of God, the more animalistic we become, and that includes our policies and even our government. Do not be confused or deceived. We have the same child neglect that these awful, barbaric child sacrificing of the not only in the ancient world of Carthage and even in Israel, but also South America, the Incas and the Mayans. We talk about these child sacrifices. But you know where the greatest child sacrifices are going on today? Right here in your backyard. Do you know that tens of thousands of people are coming to our state? Not to get good food or a nice hotel, but to murder their children. That is occurring because of the laws that are in this state. And the only way forward is revival. The only way forward is through the changing of the hearts of men and women, mothers and fathers. I'm going to tell you what you can be doing in just a moment. But it's often that we go to these murder mills. There's one in Aurora that we're going to be going to very soon. And even in this weather, people, men, are driving their wives, and mother and father are making this decision to put their babies to death. And there's something you can do. You can pray for them. You don't even have to open your mouth. You can just show up and pray. And it's a wonderful thing sometimes when I've gone and seen the sidewalks lined with people. Other times, there's hardly anybody there. We need to be the ones that are there, amen? We're not to be participants in this. We're to be exposing this child neglect. And we're to expose the same selfishness. They gave their children over, just like the nations. Can I just say that there's so much selfishness that is in these policies and in these practices? Israel went whoring because they wanted to have a more prosperous life. And so they said, well, you know, Yahweh's not working, so let's go to Baal. Oh, Baal's not working, let's go to Molech and Chemoth. And they did whatever the gods wanted them to do. And these gods, according to the scriptures, are demons. Well, you know what? We have all kinds of gods in this culture, and they are being promoted by demons. The entertainment industry, the industry of pornography. These are things that are everywhere and that are enslaving the people. And the more they give themselves to this, they want a better life. And they're willing to kill their children in order to have a better life. They want a relief from the immediate crisis. One sociologist said this: the main reason for sacrificing a child is to avert potential dangers in a crisis. Today, many times when a woman faces an unwanted pregnancy, abortion seems to be the only way to resolve the crisis she finds herself in. The potential dangers to reputation, education, career, etc. become overwhelming. Can I just There's several ladies in our congregation who are with child right now. And I want you to imagine the child being born, regardless of the situation, regardless of the hardship. I want you to imagine that child finishing kindergarten with a little cap on. I want you to think about that child coming from hard circumstances, but being loved. We can make that happen. We need to preach that to this society. And they may say, I have no hope. I have no help. And we need to point them to Jesus Christ. And we need to be the family that they don't have. They're selfish because they're scared. We need to be that place where people can come and say, you're my forever family. And if they're pregnant, we're going to love them. We're going to care for them. Amen? We need to change this culture of selfishness. And there's the same satanic control. They sacrifice their children to demons. And the devil is a liar. Amen? He's a murderer. The thief comes only to kill and to destroy and to steal. Jesus says, but I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the abolition of child murder really begins by offering the gospel to people. They can't even live life as God designed it without the Spirit of God indwelling them. They can't have the wisdom. They'll be blind and they'll keep making awful choices until Christ gives them wisdom. The fear of the Lord, saints, is the beginning of wisdom. And it's the same immorality as before. People love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I won't read these quotes, but let me just say that we see the same cowardly leadership. We need to see leadership change in our government. And as I said, the only way you're going to do that is for the people to demand godly government. And the only way for that is to have godly people. And so that means we as a church, we prayed all last week that God would redeem those around us. This is where it begins. Each one wins one. Not with your own philosophy, not with church attendance, not with self-righteousness, but we point them to Jesus Christ. We win them to the Lord, and they get a new heart. They get indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We need to see godly leadership in judgment, in government. And the Psalms are so filled with these kinds of scriptures, like in Psalm 82 and verse 4. Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. This is what the judges and the leaders of Israel were supposed to be doing. But today, because of money, abortion, child murder is a multi-billion dollar industry. You know, we founded this country with the Declaration of Independence. We said we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a biblical principle. And whether that person is outside of the womb or inside of the womb, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That is, that they are given not by government. We have these rights from God directly. We don't need any government to tell us that a child has dignity and worth, and that should be given life and liberty. They have these rights, the pursuit of happiness. And happiness, by the way, can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to demand courageous leadership. And yet we have not only the same cowardly leadership in the government, also in the medical realm. Today, it's so abhorrent when you have a baby. You're always offered a test to see if the baby has any weaknesses. Do they have Downs? They have some other... You know why they do that? Because they're going to offer you an abortion. That is wicked to the core. That is saying that this child who may have some deformities is of less value than someone who is stronger. It's a survival of the fittest. That's their gospel. And this is wicked, and this is completely against the Hippocratic Oath. And so we need to demand in the medical realm that we rise above paganism. Amen? See, in the pagan world, one inscription, a man named Tiscus says that he gave Baal his mute son, and he names the son, a handicapped child in exchange for a healthy one. And that's what people are doing today. They're returning to paganism. And Christianity should lift us out of this paganism. Let me just say that we should also demand courageous churches and courageous leaders and pastors. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. It says in 2 Chronicles 28. And he was he was the first king of Israel to offer his son in the fires of Baal and in the valley of Hinnom. He burned his sons, it says, as an offering. That is nothing but cowardly. And the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, regarding governors, regarding pastors, elders, and anyone else, as for the cowardly, their portion will be in the lake of that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So I am calling you saints to be courageous. Because in the new life, you have put off cowardice. And you cannot be a member of this church and be cowardly. You have to do what is right. You're called by the power of the Holy Spirit not to be afraid of people, but to fear the Lord with all your heart. You know God's anger. We won't go through all of that, but God is angry against child murder. We see that in Psalm 139. We're formed in the inward parts. We're made in the image of God. God's son leaped in the womb. There was a worship service when Mary visited Elizabeth. Remember that? God is angry. And if you're not sure if babies in the womb are people, read Luke chapter 1. Because as the babe who was just conceived arrives on the scene, Elizabeth and John the Baptist in the womb are both filled with the Holy Spirit, and the babe leaps in her womb. There's a worship service. God is angry, as is seen, that babies are people in the womb. They have a call from God from before the womb. Like he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But let's look at this, God's amazing grace for sinners. He says in verses 44 through 47 that he would remember his covenant. He would relent his wrath against them according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And listen to the prayer of the psalmist, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." Do you see it? When you behold his love, you become separate from the nations. You become God's masterpiece. When you behold his love, you no longer can participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. Everything gets exposed. You walk in the light as he is in the light. Behold his love. It's not through law, by the way. Now, we love the law of God. The law of God displays the character of God. But it's not through law that we can live the Christian life. It's through love. Love is far more powerful than law. Now, law is intrinsic in love. There, if you love me, what does it say? Keep my commandments. Of course, law is intrinsic in love. If you love me, God, you'll do what he says because you love him. But love is so much more powerful than law. We need love. We need love for the Savior. That's why he says, "Save us." And if we love God, we're going to be praying in that way. And then, bless the Lord. "Bless be the Lord," he says, "the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord." Do you believe that God's going to do a great work? Well, let me ask you to experience God's forgiveness yourself. The best way to prepare for what God wants you to do in this new year in regards to spreading the gospel and seeing families demand righteousness is for you to experience the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your own heart. Experience the holiness of God. Experience the nearness of God. You may be a very faithful Bible reader, but are you experiencing the imminence of God? Are you drawing near to God that He might draw near to you? Are you experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Now, this is absolutely vital, mothers and fathers, you who are raising children. It's not enough that you should catechize them and teach them the Word of God diligently. I know that you're doing that. But they must see a broken heart. God must be so great that He not only touches your intellect, He touches your heart. Doesn't mean just mere emotions. Emotions are there. But your heart, your values, everything that you long for, everything that you hope for is found in Jesus. And that will lead you to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation's leaders. Pray for mothers and fathers to protect the life of the unborn. And then don't just, you know, look from a distance. I know it's hard. I know it's horrible. But just imagine if you were blind and dead in your sins and the devil was leading you to murder your baby. Just think about all the women that are with child that are going to these murder mills. And the Bible says they're kidnapped, essentially, by the strong man. He's holding them. And Jesus has given you the power to spoil the goods. To set them free. Now, you are Jesus with skin on. You're not just to be sitting idle, looking at Wayne Grudem's systematic theology or whichever systematic theology you like. That's wonderful. You should do that. But then, don't just be a hearer of the Word. Walk in the Word. Don't congratulate yourself because you know the Word and you know the depths of the doctrines. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and move to action. And that doesn't mean you need to get a speaker and, you know, put it around your neck and start evangelizing that way. You can just pray silently on the sidewalk for these women. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? And then be willing to adopt. Again, you have to get in the game. What if things do change? What if 62 million babies in the last how many ever years since 1973, 48 years, what if 62 million babies were put up for adoption? We need to get ready for that, saints. We need to be willing to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And finally, I want to remind you, don't just sing a little louder. In Nazi Germany, the trains would come by filled with the cries of Jewish people that were on their way to their own death. And they would hear the cries, and the churches would just sing a little louder. Saints, we can't just sing a little louder in our little comfortable church. We're grateful for this place. But this is a training zone so that you will evangelize. And if you don't evangelize, you will fossilize. You will die. You don't evangelize your children, your legacy will dry up. You don't evangelize your neighborhood will dry up. You don't evangelize your nation will dry up. We need to evangelize, saints. The marching orders from our Savior was to go into all the world when it's convenient. Is that what He said? When you're not persecuted. Is that what He said? No, He says you're going to be persecuted. It's not going to be a convenient thing. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, every sentient being. You are to present the gospel if you can. Pray towards that end. Pray that God would open your mouth. And you know what? God's going to give the increase. Do you believe that? We can plant. We can water. I have no idea how to make a heart of stone, a heart of flesh. I'm not in that business. That's God's business. And so that is our goal. Are you with me, saints? We need to abolish child murder in this country. Praise God that the Supreme Court has given every indication that they're going to put Roe v. Wade back to the states. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! That's wonderful! But our battle is not done. It has just begun. Be ready. Be ready to give an answer. with respect. Don't be belligerent. Don't be a jerk. Jerkishness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Be gentle and kind and humble and loving. And people will smell the aroma of life and they'll come to know Jesus. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your love to us, and we pray even now for the families of those who are affected by those 62 million babies and probably 10 times that amount with chemical abortions and things that are not reported. Father, we ask that you would just flood our country with babies, little babies that we could love and take care of. Lord, I pray that our families would be filled, our quivers would be full, that we would be families that have such an environment of gentleness and love that children would love to grow up in our house. We pray that you would give us children, but we also pray that you would give us any child, Lord. We're asking, we're praying for this. Open doors that we could take in children and adopt them. Would you open doors, Lord? And Father, would you bring a great revival? Because the problem is not all of the sin, it's the heart, Lord God. It's the heart. So I pray that you would change hearts in our country. Begin with ours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.